If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to John chapter 15. John chapter number 15, talking still about Christianity and what that looks like. As I've said before, opening our Wednesday nights up, a lot of people claim to be Christians. I'm a Christian. He's a Christian. We live in a Christian country. I grew up in a Christian home. I have Christian friends. All the word is used so many different ways. But if we're going to be a Christian, then we need to know how being a Christian looks in these other areas of our life. For some people, being a Christian just means you go to church on Sunday, and that's where you're a good Christian. But being a good Christian means you're being a Christian in all of these other areas. And that's why we've been looking at it. Tonight, Christianity and your friends, okay? When it comes to our friends, the word friend, how many of you have heard that word used today even? Yes, okay, hands all over. How many of you have seen the word? How many of you were on Facebook today? You saw the word. It's a category, friends, right? Right? You know, I think, I don't remember now. I mean, I've got like between 500 and 700 friends, according to Facebook. They're all friends. That word friends is defined so broadly that it can be used, actually it is used, to refer to all social acquaintances, okay? Even if it's someone you've never met, thanks to Facebook, you've never met, you've never spoken to, and you've never exchanged posts with. They sent you a friend request and you accepted it so that it looks like you're a very popular person and you have all of these friends. But when it comes to the study of the term friend, we find that in biblical language, it comes from the word philos. It conveys the idea of a dear one. And Christ used that word, friend. And you'll see that in our passage tonight. And the Greek word behind that is philos, which means dear one. So our idea of friendship, it should undergo a dramatic change when we think of it in terms of Christian relationships. And this change should be confirmed when we look at the statement that Christ made on this subject of friends. So John chapter 15, verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends," dear ones, okay? So let's first consider just the basis of Christian fellowship, friendship, actually, I think is what it says in your notes, the basis of Christian friendship. Christ made it clear the basis of a true friendship is a love that is both spiritual and sacrificial. It has to be a spiritual love, as we saw there in verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this." Christ drew attention to the nature of his own love for us in the fact that he laid down his life for us. Now, this implies, I think, that no matter what level of human friendships, whatever level they reach, it becomes Christian only when it's transformed into a love that is fundamentally spiritual, such as our friendship with Christ. It is a spiritual level friendship. So my 700 whatever friendships on or friends on Facebook, they haven't reached a spiritual level, okay? So we're not talking necessarily about a Christian friendship. That's when that is when the relationship goes beyond a normal acquaintance, okay? Gary, can I use you tonight? Kathy's saying no. You have nothing to do with this, Kathy, okay? It won't involve you at all. Think of the friends that you have. Oh, you didn't say I could, but I'm going to use you anyway, okay? All right. What are some common characteristics in the friends that you have? Trustworthy, okay. What else? They're kind, okay. What else? They're selfless. Wow, you have a lot of good friends, don't you? Well, maybe not a lot that have those qualities, right? Okay. What about those that don't have those qualities? But you'll say, yeah, a friend of mine in a conversation, yeah, a friend of mine was telling me, blah, 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 okay? What would make you say that about that person? You work at the same place and have for years, so you have that in common, don't you? Yeah. Okay, and that's kind of where I'm going with this. A lot of our friendships, they're based on, like, physical attraction, okay, or we have related interests, okay? If you love coffee, you're my friend. Done deal right there, okay? Sorry, Josh. That's just the way it is, right? We have a common interest. If you love the same sports team, you're going to have a connection there. If you have the same hobby, the same interest, whatever the case is. That is where we have a lot of friendships on that level. But a Christian friendship is when that relationship goes beyond those common areas and the two people begin to share and connect spiritually. Now, right there, the number of friends that I have drops down dramatically when you consider that level where you're sharing and connecting spiritually. Here's kind of what it looks like. We are concerned for each other's spiritual lives. And act on that just as we act on mutual interests that we may share. So, you know, if I was invited to a cupping party, okay, do you know what a cupping party is? It's kind of like a wine tasting party for coffee drinkers. They get together and they sample different kinds of coffee and just stop the frowny faces, okay? Because it's a neat experience. If I get invited to a cupping party, I will not invite Josh. Sorry. He doesn't go to dork parties. That's what he just said to me. Wow. Yeah. And we all button up our shirts to the top like this. No. It's all cool people that do this. But I would invite Jason, okay, and Tyler, and Carl, the whole family. Why not, okay? They all have the same addiction or pleasurable tastes in life. That's how we'll say it, yeah. It's an addiction. It is not. We can quit anytime we want. We just don't want to, right? But we have that thing in common, okay? And so I would naturally go to them when it has anything to do with coffee. I act on it. Now, we take that same, and even the same thing for scrapbooking. Not my thing. Okay. Quilting. Oh, I said I wasn't going to use you tonight. Okay. Shopping, right? If one of you ladies are going to go shopping, I'm saying ladies because if I'm going to go shopping, I don't say, hey, Kurt, you want to go shopping with me? I got to go to Springfield, going to Hobby Lobby. You want to come? You know, ladies do that, though, don't they? Okay. So they call someone that they connect with on that level in the world of shopping, hunting. Okay. Same concept there. Sports. Work connections. Yeah, I could call you, Kurt, couldn't I? Yeah, let's go do it. But when we're talking about Christian friendships, there's not a shopping connection necessarily or scrapbooking or coffee or hunting. It's a spiritual connection. And we don't just have that spiritual connection, but we act on it too. Okay? So we intentionally are doing something to involve that other person in this area that we'll call spirituality in a Christian friendship. But it also has to be a sacrificial love in that Christian friendship. The spirit of true friendship is always ready to do for the highest good of the other person. Always ready to do for the highest good of the other person. But what if they don't deserve it, right? What if they're always taking? A Christian friend does always for the highest good of the other person. Now, this idea was manifested, it was shown in Christ's own example. Look with me. It'll be on the screen, 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Here's how we know that God loves us, because he did for our highest good. He laid down his life for us. Now, because he did that, Christ did that, if we're going to have a Christian friendship, we're going to do the same thing in our friendships. Be willing to do for the highest good of the other person. This type of friendship is the type that does. Okay, there's action to it. So, in order to see these two points, spiritual and sacrificial, actually take place in a friendship, both parties have to be Christian, don't they? It would be hard for someone who doesn't know the love of Christ to show the love of Christ in a relationship, which is also why we'll take this concept, this principle, and put it into the words that Paul told us, that a man and woman ought not to be unequally yoked together. Because there can't be that higher level spiritual connection in that marriage when one doesn't know Christ. So let's move on. That was the basis of a Christian friendship. But how about the bond of Christian friendship? What keeps us together? All right, John 15:14, it says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Now, we're not going to take this literally, okay? Gary, you are my friend if you do whatever I tell you to. Then you can be my friend. Don't we sound like a little five-year-old, okay? we're talking about Christian unity here, okay? Jesus said, "Ye are my friend." Let's notice that Christ was addressing these words at this time. We're going to look at some context to understand what he's saying. He's addressing these words to the 11 disciples, not the 12. This is John chapter 15. Who's the 12th one? Judas. Where's Judas at? He's out betraying Christ right at that moment. So Jesus is addressing this word friend to these 11 that are with him. He could not have referred to Judas as his friend because friendship implies a oneness in unity, okay? You are together, just like a marriage. God says we are one flesh. Obviously, that's unity there. So if a husband and a wife are not this, but they're this, something's wrong. Something is drastically wrong, okay? Judas had gone out into the night to betray him, so there wasn't the unity there. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And Paul calls this unity here the unity of the Spirit. So there has to be a unity of oneness in the Lord in Christian friendships. While it's true that there are varying degrees of friendship within the church, would you agree with that? Sure, okay, because some of you really, really like me. You're my special friends. Yep, you're the ones that when you come back from vacation, I say, oh, it's good to have you back. I'm so sorry. You understand that, though. We don't go out to eat on Sunday afternoon with everybody, okay? We have some that we're closer to, but there is a varying degree of friendships even within the church. But the fact still remains that if we are united in one spirit, the Holy Spirit, and we are friends of Jesus because of that, he calls us his friend, because of that, we're also friends of each other too, even though we are on different degrees of friendship in that realm. That's why we need to strive for unity. It is so important. Within these walls especially, we need to strive for unity. Christ said, a house divided against itself cannot stand, and neither can we. Is there anyone, I'll just throw this question out to all of us, including me, is there anyone within this church family that you haven't forgiven? Maybe it was something years ago, and you say, oh yeah, I've forgiven them. I've heard some people say, if I were to ask them this question, I haven't, but based on what I've heard them say, if I were to ask them this question, have you forgiven them? And they would say, well, I'm working on forgiving them. So that means no, you haven't forgiven them. Isn't that what that means? Either you have forgiven them or you haven't. When God forgives us, he's not working on forgiving us. Done. He forgives. It's as far away as the east is from the west, buried in the depths of the deepest sea. That's forgiveness. Done. He doesn't forget anything, but he chooses to not run it through his mind what I did to him over and over again. Okay? That's forgiveness. So, is there anyone within this church family that you haven't forgiven? Is that the way that Christ forgives us? No. Christ forgives us completely when we ask for forgiveness. It's done. Let's talk about another aspect here. Number two, Christian loyalty. True friendship results in loyalty. Now, guys might say it like this, I got your back. Okay? Whatever's going down, I got your back. I'll watch him take you down. I'll be right behind you all the way. That's not what we mean by that. We're going to be loyal. Got your back. No matter what, if you're not around and someone's dragging you through the mud, I got your back. I'm going to speak up. You know why? Because that's loyalty, right? That is loyalty. That was one thing growing up in a family with six kids, my five siblings. Man, we would get into some of the biggest fights, okay? Sandy, you have a bigger family, don't you? Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about. Man, we would get in some of the biggest fights, but don't you dare mess with my brother or sister. I can fight with them, but don't you dare mess with them. And I've shared this years ago as a seventh grader. I took on a senior football player who got a college football scholarship because of what he was saying about my sister. And he knocked me to the gym floor. And I was a dumb seventh grader. I got back up. And I went back down. And I got back up. And now by this time I'm praying, where is the gym coach? Please, I hope the gym coach gets out here quickly. But that's loyalty. That's the loyalty we have to have. Now, what he said about my sister had nothing to do with me. I could have very easily just stood by and listened like everybody else was and not gotten involved. But no, he's going after my family, okay? And that's the loyalty that, as Christians, should be a part of our friendships. True friendship results in loyalty. How so? Okay? We're faithful in confidential sharing. Okay? This is one aspect of loyalty that I haven't touched on yet. Faithful in confidential sharing. Genesis chapter 18 and 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" So God was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, okay? Abraham's got family there, Lot. God's planning this, and he's having a conversation with himself. Should I hide this from Abraham? And the answer was no. Abraham was called the friend of God, and so God brought Abraham into his confidence, so to speak, and shared with him, this is what I'm going to do. There was a trust, a loyalty, a trust to confidentially share. We need friends like that. And can I just say this? Guys are the worst at that. We don't open up and share anything with anybody. We have a hard time with that. And yet, we need to have that level of friendship. But I'll throw this out here, too. We have to be loyal when someone shares with us. How does that loyalty look? Or wait, I'll ask a better question. When someone shares something with us confidentially, how does that loyalty sound? I'll demonstrate it. Silence. We're not sharing that with anyone else. We're not sharing that with anyone else. I've read this before. I've said this before. If someone will talk to you about someone else, they'll talk to someone else about you. And you know what that does? It prohibits us from confidentially sharing with each other. So if we confidentially share, we need to be careful who we're sharing with, okay? Just as a caution there. So faithful in confidential sharing, but also faithful in all criticisms. Now, this one's difficult. How many of you like to be criticized? No hands are going up. No one likes to be criticized. Well, the word has a negative connotation to it, okay? But let's see what Proverbs 27:6 says. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A friend will faithfully wound you. A friend will faithfully tell you when you're doing something wrong. Now, we're talking about sin here, okay? We're talking about sin. I know some guys, they have this thing about which brand truck they drive, okay? And so you don't go criticize someone because they bought a different brand of truck than what you think they should have bought. We're talking about biblical issues here, sin issues. You see a sin issue in one of your friends. A faithful friend will go to them and out of love share with them truth from the Bible and say, hey, this is wrong. That's what a faithful friend will do. A loyal friend is one who is friend enough to let you know when you're going down the wrong path. Now, I've seen this happen time and time again over the years, 20 years now, over 20 years of being in the ministry. Someone who's here all of the time. And then all of a sudden they start missing. And then they're only here once in a while. And then before you know it, you hear about problems in the home. They started down a wrong path just by missing church once in a while, and then a lot, and then there's more problems. And I have to wonder, their close friends that they had within these walls, did they not say anything to them? See, a close friend will be friend enough to say something when you're going down the wrong path. They are willing to speak the truth in love, but they're also willing to let you speak the truth in love to them as well. See, there's two sides of this. Did I just describe your friends? Let's flip the coin around. When one of your friends does speak the truth to you, when they say, wait a minute, hold on, Joe, it's not right that we're talking about this other person the way they're being talked about right now. It's not right that you're saying this about them. How do you react when one of your friends says that to you? Because that right there is one of those sins that God hates. Gossips. He hates it. It is so destructive. How do you react when one of your friends says that to you and cuts off the conversation? Oh, but I've never had any of my friends do that. Wow. You just evaluated your Christian friends. Not only that, if you've never done it with one of your friends, you've just evaluated the type of friend you are too, or me even. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Someone who just is all kissy-kissy to you, okay, not literally, but no matter what you do, they're just going to be all nice because they don't want to hurt your feelings. Proverbs describes them as an enemy, a deceitful enemy. It's true, you may not agree with something that your friend is saying to you about you, or you may not agree with something that your friend is saying, or you may not agree with something that your friend is doing. And so, because you don't want to rile things up, you don't want to hurt their feelings, you don't want to make them feel bad, you just don't say anything at all. You know that it's biblically wrong, the way they're talking or what they're doing, but saying nothing means you endorse what they're saying or doing. So we have to ask ourselves, what kind of a friend are we? Proverbs 27:17, it says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. If I'm not sharpening your countenance, you should take that as though you're not my friend. If you're not sharpening my countenance, I should take that as I'm not really one of your friends. And we take that verse and apply that to all of our friendships that we say we have. Be this kind of friend. And this is really uncomfortable here, okay? Because I know before I leave tonight, I'm going to have six of you prove your friendship to me. But we have to be this kind of friend. Otherwise, we're so busy worried about not hurting each other's feelings, making sure we just all feel warm and fuzzy with each other. We go along in our non-biblical things in our lives, not getting corrected. We're not growing spiritually. And we're not reflecting the friendship that Jesus has with us when he called us his friends. Being a Christian friend, a biblical friend, is going to be a little uncomfortable. Let's look at, why would you want to be this kind of friend? But let's consider this last section here, the benefits of Christian friendship. And try to figure out why we would even want to be this kind of friend. Jesus said in John 15:15, henceforth, I call you not servants, For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, dear ones, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So the benefit list of having this kind of a friend, I mean, if we just brainstorm, it could get pretty extensive. But let's just consider two categories. The first one is this kind of friend is morally elevating. In other words, they're going to help us grow spiritually. When Christ first called these disciples, they weren't even servants of his. They were sinners, okay? They were sinners that he called out of the fishing boat, out of the tax collector booth. He just called them from every walk of life. They were sinners, and the transforming power of Christ's friendship, Christian friendship, was such that he changed them, in a sense, from sinner to saints. Their lives transformed. Peter was not doing the things that he was 3 years earlier when he was on a fishing boat, okay? The apostle Peter, the disciple Peter, you think he was always a saintly fisherman, okay? He was a fisherman. There's nothing in the Bible to suggest that he was a God-fearing Christian fisherman, okay? He was a rough, coarse, crude, rude fisherman. And Christ transformed him in those 3 years through this friendship that was there. He didn't call them friends at first. It was not until they knew his salvation that he could call them friends. And that's in keeping with what we had looked at earlier. Without his friendship, they would have lived and died in obscurity. But he raised them. He lifted them from the way they did live. And he changed them. As a Christian friend, that should be our goal with our friendships. To lift them. To help edify them. There's a word that Paul uses in the New Testament. Build up. When our friends spend time with us, are they lifted to new heights spiritually? Or here's the second category. We had morally elevating, mentally educating. So this is where when we get together now, we all have to read encyclopedias, okay? Oh, they don't make those anymore. We have to read Google Facts, okay? And that's not what it's talking about here. Solomon said, Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You walk with a wise person, you hang out with a wise person, you spend time with another person, a wise person, and they raise you mentally, okay? You become wise. It's not necessarily saying you know more facts, okay? Like, I could hang out with some of you in here and then come away after an afternoon of walking through a field and be able to tell you all kinds of facts about arrowheads, okay? Because we have some arrowhead collectors, hunters in our midst here. It's not that kind of mental lifting. How about in matters of life? Wisdom, as Proverbs talks about. And this person, this friend, is going to help you become a wiser person. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, these are the religious leaders, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They had this time with Jesus. Jesus died. He's gone to heaven. And now these guys are preaching. The religious leaders see these unlearned, uneducated, ignorant men preaching, and they're like, whoa, that doesn't sound like the Peter we knew. Yeah, but he did spend time with Jesus. And that time with Jesus Jesus raised them. So we have to ask ourselves, what kind of friend are we to those around us? Are we morally challenging them? Challenging them to grow spiritually? Are we mentally educating them? Well, you know, here's what the Bible says. Where can we begin being a better friend? Now, I want to challenge you, maybe caution you, okay, to not look at others in this room tonight. And you walk away from this room thinking, yeah, that's right. Nobody here has ever challenged me morally. No one in this room or in this church has ever helped me to learn scripturally. So that means they don't care about me. And I'm not a friend to anyone in this church. You know what that's called? Pity party. Okay? So let's all say it for them. Boo-hoo, right? I've got news for you. It's not about you. God, a real friend, gave us this word, this truth, to challenge you, us, to lift us morally, spiritually, okay? And if you leave here thinking, oh, boo-hoo, then you have missed the central point of this message. The central point of this message is your responsibility as a Christian to be this kind of friend to other people. And I've had occasionally, maybe once or twice over the years, someone tell me, I don't have any friends in this church. Whether it was this one or the last one. I don't have any friends in this church. This is one of the friendliest churches I know, okay? How can you come here and not be treated friendly, right? I don't have any friends here. They're missing the point of this. God said in Proverbs, if a man is to have friends, he has to be a friend. So it starts with us to be this kind of Christian friend. Don't even think about how many of my friends are real friends. You're missing it. Are you this kind of friend? That's where we'll stop tonight, okay? Let's go to some prayer time here with the time that we have left.